We are back on Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Dan Gaynor, who is Vice President of the Media Research Center's Business and Media Institute. For the next few minutes, we want to get his thoughts on the amount and the tone of media coverage regarding the swine flu, the outbreak in Mexico, and the cases that have been documented to this point here in the U.S. And Dan, thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure. This is certainly an important topic and one topic that people think is on everybody's mind right now.
It certainly is right now. And, of course, you've got the government responding in multiple layers. We heard from the president today. We heard from the Secretary of Homeland Security, as well as local and state officials. We know about the school up in New York that's been affected by this outbreak. We've obviously seen deaths by the dozens in Mexico. But to this point, we've only got a few dozen cases, much less severe cases here in the U.S. So what's the proper media balance here?
Well, certainly it's pretty obvious that the media have a bad history dealing with flu. Back in 2006, media hyped avian flu like it was the coming of the next apocalypse. And that's not even an exaggeration. ABC put a doctor on, I think it was James Webster, who was supposed to be the founder of bird flu. And he said there was he thought half the world's population could die from bird flu, and he thought it was going to happen. In more than 10 years since avian flu was first discovered, they've had a total of 257 deaths. Typically, in a year, to put all this in perspective, just in the U.S., we have 36,000 people die from flu. So when you're talking about these things, it helps to put them in perspective. And I think it's pretty clear that the media are going off the deep end here. But at least now they're doing it based on news, not on theory.
What is the proper tone, Dan, do you think? Obama, in his statement today, said it's worthy of concern but not alarm. Is that the standard the media should follow as well, and how well are they following?
Well, I don't think they should take their clue necessarily from the president, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, but in this particular case, I think it's important, but it is not the only news story. And then if you're going to do the news story, do it, be analytical. Say, well, this number of people have died. It clearly is a crisis in Mexico. But if it's a crisis in Mexico, and we constantly hear how America's fascination with guns, with media bombarded with us with this, that America somehow is infecting Mexico with guns. They talk about border security. Why don't they have a similar border security conversation now that the rest of the world is worried about the disease or the virus both in Mexico and the United States, because the border is essentially non-existent between the two countries?
Dan,
that seems to be an argument for border security.
Dan, we often talk about political debates in terms of the economy, how they're being covered by the networks, media bias in general on an issue like this. And you just mentioned, I guess, in a way, how this could show a somewhat of a bias based on what is discussed in connection with this and what's not. But on an issue like this, which doesn't instinctively have a political component, is the media performing a little bit better than they do on, say, some of the things we cover day-to-day here in Washington?
Well, I think the component here is it has the classic journalistic component. If it bleeds, it leads. And that sounds disparaging. It's just it's a journalistic term. This is unfortunate, and the media are hyping the heck out of it, which is undoubtedly going to have repercussions. And we've got Russia refusing to accept exports of American beef and American pork. You can't get this disease if you cook your beef or your pork. And it's not even a beef disease. But nevertheless, you're going to have other countries overreact. And to some extent, what they're overreacting to is what they see on the news.
Dan, what recommendations would you have for the media based on how they most likely overreacted with the bird flu scare a couple years ago and compared to what you've already seen here in the past few days?
Well, I would say calm the heck down. That one of the things I would argue is imagine if this was really just a horrifying crisis. How would you cover it? If you realize you'd cover it not much differently than you're covering it right now, then you've gone overboard. And I think that's the problem. We saw it with the economy. When Bear Stearns went out, when that went under, we saw how much the media used hyperbolic terms. And it turns out they were using things even more outlandish than they used in the 1929 stock market crash. To have a sense of perspective, we lose 36,000 Americans every year to flu. If this is a threat significant like that, deserves paying attention, but it's not the end of the world. Please treat it like it's not.
Dan, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Dan Gaynor is Vice President of the Media Research Center's Business and Media Institute. That does it for this edition of Dateline Washington, a presentation of Radio America. Thanks to Executive Producer Jim Roberts. Please find us online, dateline.radioamerica.org. I'm Greg Corumbus. Please join me next time for Dateline Washington.